Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Today on CICK News, BC Housing plans to buy and rezone the Capri Motor Inn at 3984 on Highway 16 West to provide up to 60 new supportive housing units in Smithers. This project will supply much-needed housing solutions in addition to the 22 existing supportive housing units at Goodacre Place, which opened in 2019 and is operated by the Smithers Community Services Association. BC Housing hosted an in-person community engagement session on July 31st. This engagement activity allowed BC Housing to collect the community's feedback about this project ahead of rezoning. A public hearing took place at the Town of Smithers Council Chambers on Tuesday, August 8th, during which Council made a decision on the project. The hearing was open to residents who wished to attend to have their say and provide feedback and comments to Council. Supportive housing is for British Columbians experiencing or at risk of homelessness. They can be young people, seniors, or people with physical or mental disabilities. They may be experiencing trauma, poverty, addiction, or struggling with the high cost of housing. Supportive housing often includes 24/7 supports and services such as meals or life and employment skills training, health and wellness supports, and culturally informed services. BC Housing followed an evidence-based and internationally demonstrated housing-first model. By providing safe shelter, guests can access important aspects of well-being, such as a healthy lifestyle and career supports, privacy and hygiene facilities. The site will be owned by BC Housing and operated by an experienced nonprofit provider that will be selected through a fair process. The nonprofit operator will work with BC Housing and local service providers to match the needs of resident to support services provided. Residents will be assessed using a thorough process to determine services needed and create a healthy resident mix. All residents will pay rent and sign a program agreement around expectations and behaviors. Renovations will support building operations, improve life safety, and create a secure outdoor amenity space. I reached out to BC Housing for a comment on this issue, but unfortunately, due to time limits, I was not able to speak with someone. The following audio are comments made during the August 8th meeting from both council members and Smithers community members. I have shortened the public comment section as well as the councillors' comments due to the length of the meeting. After this public hearing in which most people implored council to vote no to the potential rezoning of the Capri Motor Inn, council shared their comments and voted the bylaw change down. But I encourage you to listen to what our community members said and how council replied in order to understand the complexity of this issue of supportive housing, access to services, and protecting our community's most vulnerable population.
So we're going to start with the submissions for bylaw 1958 and 1959. So the first person I have on the list is Carmen Brath.
Madam Mayor and members of council, speaking on the change in the motel, I'm totally opposed to that development because all you're going to do is create an instant slum. You're building it, you're putting it in a place where it's 100 feet from seniors' home, 300 feet from an elementary school. Those seniors are going to be afraid to walk around. Kids are going to be afraid to go to school. I believe all you're doing is just going to create an instant slum. I don't know how you can possibly regulate 60 rooms, 60 people, where are you going to find enough staff to do that? It's going to be totally impossible. And second question is this mess across the street going to disappear if this by chance happens to go through? Is that going to disappear if this Capri thing goes through?
Yeah, I just want to speak against rezoning of the Capri in its current state. And I just kind of want to give a bit of a firsthand account today of some of the ways that my store and I and my staff have experienced the recent crime and drug wave that's, you know, I think everybody who lives here has experienced personally. And so, you know, like a lot of people, I feel that the unit as proposed is going to draw a lot of the same byproducts and negative effects from people who are either directly staying in those units or preying on the people who are staying in those units.
The next name I have is Ingo. Excuse me, Ingo.
I have no idea at this point whether rezoning the Capri is going to be a good idea or not. But I think the question that a lot of people in town will have in their minds is, if the supporting housing unit goes ahead, does that then give the town the legal right to ban any further tent establishments in town? Because if it doesn't give us that right to do that, then we can expect an increase in any more difficult situation down the road. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mr. Next person I have on this list is Margaret Brooks.
So there's just a very unique opportunity to say no to this type of housing project. This model of social housing hasn't worked in many other communities province-wide. It may seem that the first option for our vulnerable is assistance and giving them a place to lay their head. But the first step to supporting them is giving them support, giving them the services that they need. And it seems like housing is the first option, but I feel it's not. We currently don't have enough services in our town to support the people in our own community that live here now, let alone Goodacre Place. There's not enough services to support the people that are there. New families moving to town don't have doctors. They don't have dentists. I'm curious, if I was a drug user, what the wait time would be for me to see somebody at addiction services. Because mandatory services that we have right now, there's a wait time for. So what's the wait time for somebody with addiction issues? Moving on to BC Housing and Goodacre Place. They failed to give us stats at their last meeting that I was at. And I'm curious to know, how many callouts does our ambulance service and RCMP make to the residents per month? How many deaths have happened in that residence? Are people moving out of this residence and being able to support themselves? Because that's the idea behind the model. If there isn't a success rate at our current facility that we don't have enough services in town to provide for, why would we consider rezoning a piece of commercial property, prime real estate in Smithers, to provide social housing? Can we afford to change the bylaw with the vacancy rate that we have in this town? If you drive by that hotel tonight, it's full to capacity with truckers, with businesses in town who put their employees there when they come in. They're all spending money. And those are revenues that we're going to take away from businesses in this town. That's all I got.
Jeff Anderson, next to Ron and Vina, we are the closest to this proposed project. Like many people in this room, we're compassionate and we want to see help for those in need. But when we say supportive housing, we're actually using it as a word. We're bringing in a lot of projects with a lot of bad history. Many people spoke to that tonight. I wasn't going to speak tonight. But I'm speaking of things that I haven't heard spoken for tonight other than this last woman right here. As compassionate people, we want to help. And so we want to say yes to a project like this. We want to know that something that we're doing and that our voice, our community and tax dollars are contributing to something positive. Excuse me. But the fact of the matter is, it's really hard to find positive stories across Canada and across the United States with supportive housing. There's been audits that have been done in British Columbia, audits that have been done in other provinces, all the way across. These are easy stories to find. We just need a little bit of time on the internet. You guys all have that. So I'd encourage you to become informed on those issues. But what I want to speak toward here tonight is the audits that have been done. The audits that have spoke to people inside the residents of these supportive housing sites. We want to help people that are vulnerable. But what my research has taught me, and I think what your research will teach you as well, is that this is increasing vulnerability. It's increasing vulnerability for the reasons the last speaker just spoke. It's creating break and enters. People are dealing drugs. People are being assaulted. And those assaults are not being intervened. At City, when there's an assault, people intervene. It only lasts for so long. Behind closed doors, we have the opportunity here with your vote to create something far worse than them, to create something far more vulnerable. You guys, with your vote, very serious decision tonight. Are you trying to decrease vulnerability or increase vulnerability? So thank you guys for your time. I wish you the best of luck with your decision. And I would implore you to make an informed decision around this for the support of our community, for the seniors, and for the children that are going to be affected the most by this.
Okay, so we've had a lot of commentary from folks in the gallery who've had some questions. And so my proposal here for council is that we'll do one round of a round table. So we'll start with Councillor Leonard. We'll go through that everybody has an opportunity to make a comment in general or comments.
I'll just begin by saying that my mind was made up this morning and then subsequent to various meetings with service providers in the community this morning. I sort of feel like I'm in a good place, and I am going to vote no to the zoning for all of the reasons we have heard tonight and read in letters, and they are my opinion. Someone would have to prove to me that we need 60 beds, and BC Housing didn't give us that information last week. And the other service providers didn't really provide that when I was asking for statistics either. I'm not going to go into other reasons because it's all been said.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the words of Councillor Leonard, and I'm going to second those comments with a little bit of addition to it. Like you, we've thought long and hard about this project, and I do support supportive housing. But I think some of the comments maintained, I have in my made up before you came to this meeting today, that I would not support the bylaw change because I don't think it's the right place for it. I think there's some vulnerabilities there in that area. There's a school, there's a seniors complex, there's businesses. All the points you made were very valid and real. The hard part is that there's still people who do need housing. We know that many of those people who are in encampments or around town, they're not houseable. They have a violent history, they have mental illness. And you're right, there aren't enough services for those people. And you're right that we also need to focus on those things. I can't add any more to what you've said. I think there's some very good points about planning out. We want to have supportive housing, support it community-wide. And I've talked about this with many people that I know the citizens in Smithers would support something that was well thought out and well planned.
One thing people may not think about is that when it comes to supportive housing, I have a friend of mine, not locally, in another location, but they're a cancer survivor. They can no longer work due to chemotherapy, and they are in supportive housing. And that's what's keeping them off the street. They tell me day in and day out, like, if it wasn't for supportive housing, they would be homeless. So this is also not a situation that's unique to Smithers. So when we start talking about the impacts of homelessness, it is across the north, it's across the province, it is in every small village, it's in every large city. So I do not believe that this complex is a solution to the entire homeless problem. I know that we talk again and again about how we need to have several pieces come into play. And I think that this is one piece. There are certain people that would benefit from supportive housing within our community. Not everybody would qualify for supportive housing, but we do have a need by some people for supportive housing within Smithers. So another piece I'd like to clarify is when we keep talking about the Capri, it's up to 60 units. The plan is to only open, I believe it's 20 places, correct me if I'm wrong. So it's starting with a phased approach. Because one thing I think that we recognize with Goodacre is that we built it to a certain size and then we overgrew it. And there's always going to be a level of need. So another thing to think about with supportive housing is that also people with cognitive impairments and physical disabilities. So another piece is active education. I know this table, we are working extremely hard in advocating for mental health supports, for addiction supports, for housing supports, and that's not going to stop. I think that supportive housing is a piece, and that's something that we need to do to support the vulnerable members within our community. Now, there's lots of other conversations that keep coming in, but we're talking about crime and drug use, and that is a whole other plethora of social issues, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. What we're talking about tonight is social housing.
Thanks, Councilor Raven. Councilor Fiegelman.
Thanks, Mayor. I also want to thank everyone who spoke tonight. I was another counselor who came here tonight with my mind already made up. I was planning to vote no to rezoning. I think all the comments I heard tonight only reinforced that for me. I think one comment spoke to me more than anything. I'm guessing that tonight our decision is going to be a no, but that's a guess on my part. I haven't heard all my fellow counselors speak yet, which means we'll have to go back to the drawing board because there still are a lot of people who are underhoused in this community. And I guess we'll have to go possibly go back to work. And I think some people tonight said this whole process was too rushed, too hurried. And maybe we just have to have a nice slow approach with lots of input from our community.
I agree wholeheartedly with what everyone has said today. No matter if we build housing, we will not solve the labor crisis, the drug epidemic, and the significant increase in crime. I will vote yes. My interest is working with BC Housing to assure they establish the committee with those service providers who have the expertise needed to ensure we design and run it appropriately. I agree it is happening too fast, and I want to take the time to do it right. I want to vote yes for those who need housing, period. This is not just for those who suffer with mental health and addiction. This is for those who cannot afford to live, for those who have special needs, or those who fall on hard times, like people fleeing from abuse. At one point in my life, I was one of those individuals, and I had immediate access to rehabilitation because of my privilege. I like what supportive housing offers, support for those in need. I accepted this job knowing that I would have to make hard decisions and I will not make friends, but I promise that I will always hear from you and I will always try my best. Specific to addressing homelessness, mental health and addiction and crime, I live directly across from the Capri. And some of my neighbors who are here this evening, I know that you may not like me for that, and that's okay. But I promise you that I'm gonna try everything that I can to do my absolute best. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to climb on a soapbox for a little bit while I've got everybody's attention. First of all, this was BC Housing's project. I don't think I heard it here tonight, but I sure read it online that everybody thought it was Council's project and that we've got our heads up on other regions. And I'm getting a little tired of it. And I appreciate that it wasn't said tonight, but people need to start paying more attention. And this did happen quickly. Unfortunately, some real estate things come to us and they're in camera. So it was in camera for a while. My first reaction, because I live in the neighborhood, was hell no. I don't want it here. But my job as a counselor is not to come with my mind pre-made up. I have to listen to all the perspectives. So, you know, I've almost everybody that's asked me has said I'm on the fence. I had a predisposition and I kind of feel like I arrived where I thought I was going to arrive, but I came tonight because I wasn't sure who was going to say what. Some things didn't surprise me, some things did surprise me, but I came prepared to be persuaded to do, to say yes. Unfortunately, I wasn't. I want to answer a few questions too. So there's more than one person that said, oh, we need seniors housing or whatever. BC Housing has come with a pot of money for supportive housing. That's what they brought. That's what they paid with this. We didn't ask for supportive housing specifically. We asked for help with a homeless encampment. And this is what BC Housing has said our need is for supportive housing. I'd like to be able to support supportive housing, but I read Mr. Anderson's letter and I went on the internet. And if you have a mindset, you can find anything to support that mindset on the internet, unfortunately. I'm also trained as a scientist. I don't actually practice as a scientist, but one thing that I can see is when I'm trying to be persuaded to think a certain way. And what I could not find on the internet was hard facts that say one way or the other. The only thing that I found that was consistent is that when supportive housing opens, whether it is ultimately successful or is unsuccessful, there is about a 6 to 7 month period where crime increases. So, I have to think about that in context of where it is. Another soapboxy thing I want to say is, we heard from the community that you want us to do something about it. And I've heard people ask for things like 24-hour policing. Those cost money. And you know what we hear at budget time? That we're spending too much money. So we need, as a community, to send a little clearer message. Because sometimes we're working in the dark here. We added two more police officers, and it's helped. But obviously, it isn't solving the problem. But it's costing us money into the future. We're raising taxes by, I think, about $100,000, $120,000 a year for the next 6 years just to pay for the ones that we added, the two that we added recently. So there isn't money for us to add. Advocacy. Everybody tells us we should be advocating for these things. I don't know how many weeks of vacation I've given up to go down to Vancouver, Whistler, or wherever, and advocate to ministers. We're doing that advocacy. And it isn't so much that people, I welcome ideas, but don't think we're not doing it. The other thing is that I'm getting a little tired of people saying, oh, they should put the homeless encampment in the mayor's yard. That's not helpful. I don't want the homeless encampment there. Nobody does. And we have a legal obligation to provide a place for people without homes to get a chance. Unfortunately, we're also responsible for their safety and for all the other things that come out of it. So it's been actually hard to keep an open mind about this because I get kind of angry about all these things I was feeling about. A couple other questions that I saw. So somebody asked, I think it was Carmen, asked if we open this, is the homeless encampment going away? We could certainly try and make a case that we provided some shelter, but that's no guarantee. That's what they say, but we would have to hire lawyers and all that if somebody challenged us closing the homeless encampment. The unfortunate part is supportive housing doesn't work for everybody. There are people that are hard to house and they end up in the homeless encampment. So, what else we got here? My apologies. I wanted to speak to the hotel. The hotel was put up for sale and BC Housing bought it. We didn't ask BC Housing to buy the hotel. The hotel was up for sale already. So there's no guaranteeing that if we turn this down, that the owner of the Capri is going to find somebody that wishes to run a hotel. It's a commercial, it's going commercial. There are other things you can do there. People are saying that the Tandoori will close. Well, the Tandoori leases their spot. There's no guaranteeing that the person that buys the hotel is going to continue to lease to them. You would hope they're a good community member, but that's a risk you take when you lease in that business. So those, some of those arguments don't really hold water, although they're good concerns. And while I'm at it, living in the neighborhood, that hotel and the people that are staying with it are also part of the drug problem. Are we kidding ourselves if they're not? Not that any given one is bad, but in the aggregate, part of the drug problem we're seeing, and part of the reason probably that drug house is there, is because of the people that stay in that hotel, which isn't anything against the breeder owners. One other thing that I wanted to say, the known drug houses. It's frustrating as a counselor to know where the crime's coming and knowing that nothing can be done about it. But I've lived here for almost 30 years, and I've lived in four different places that had drug houses either across the street or right near to me. Everybody in the neighborhood knew they were, and I'm sure the police knew, but there was nothing they could do about it. I don't know why that is. That's something we'll be talking to the Minister of Minister Farnsworth. I mean, he's responsible for crime. One other thing is that from what I read, is the most successful projects have a mix of people in them. And it's unfortunate to say people with drug addictions are going to fill the place, and sometimes they do scare people up, but the ones that work best have people with addictions, have people with mental health problems, and people that just can't find housing. So that brings me to kind of where I've arrived at my conclusion. I think everybody's right. I don't think we have those services here. BC Housing built Good Acre Place under the rapid response to homelessness. And the actual philosophy behind it is housing first. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm not advocating for or against it, but that's why we're not seeing the services first and then the housing, because the feeling is that housing is first. But that being said, so what I saw online is that a lot of, and this is just me inferring, but a lot of the success or failure of a unit, a supportive housing unit, has to do with who's running it. And that's a problem that we have. I may be wrong, but I think when Good Acre Place was built, we knew that Spindler's Community Service was going to run it. We don't know who's going to run this one. I'm a little bit surprised. I was reading about when they were BC Housing's building in Vancouver, where before the rezoning went through, they already had a service provider picked. So I'm not really sure why that didn't happen in this case. But I think the thing that got to me is a quote I read. It said, there are 210 supportive housing facilities located within 500 meters of schools, and 52% have been operating for over 10 years with no incidents. But I'm a glass kind of half empty kind of guy. What I'm hearing is that 48% of them have had incidents. I don't know what an incident is. And I don't know how many incidents happened where they weren't reported. Somebody yelled at somebody's kid. If you're a five-year-old kid and adults in your face screaming, you're going to remember that for a long time. So, you know, I think I kept an open mind, but I can't support this where it's going. But the other thing is, if we want to stay open to these possibilities and we want to, as we always do, advocate for the supports, we need to find somewhere in the community that has the support of the community. Because every time we come, nobody wants it in their neighborhood. Don't blame them. But the thing is, it is in our OCP that supportive housing is part of the mix. Unfortunately, it's not in the OCP plans where it's going to go. So that's something we think, need to think about as well. So thanks for sticking with me for the rant. I'll be voting against.
Thanks, Councilor. Okay, I'm going to go through a few things as well. I think Councilor Ray touched on a couple of questions, but I circled some as we were going, so I'm going to just go there first, and then there's some I apologize for that. One was in regard to what will happen across the road. The final answer to that can't be known. And I think Councilor Ray sort of talked about it. It has been part of the drive of council is to find a way to help lessen the impact of the tent encampment. So having something to offer allows us to invite people to live somewhere else. So it certainly was part of the equation. This is going to be a little bit disjointed because I made the notes as we went through. So we'll see if this can come to a good conclusion at the end. Just referencing, BC Housing First and the process. So one thing I can remember is in this gallery, when BC Housing was here and Community Services was in the room, and there was the proposal for the building that's adjacent. And perhaps it wasn't quite like this meeting, but I think maybe a couple of you were in the room then. There was a lot of opposition to the project. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of concern over property values and some of the same things we've heard tonight. Since it's open, I don't think we've had those outcomes. It's been a project well run. It provides supportive housing. It did come under another initiative, as Councilor Ray talked about, but it provides stability for people in need. And the reason Housing First is stated is that people without stable housing can't stabilize. And so I can count as you can, so I see where this is going. But you know, something to consider for us as a community, if we are not willing to try a change, I don't know how we're going to expect change to happen. There's a great level of dissatisfaction that's been expressed about many issues, some of them related to the rezoning and a lot of them related to what you're seeing in the community, the current situation. But if we don't find a way to provide housing first for some of the people that are in dire need, there isn't any reason I can see to expect a different outcome than what we were talking about today. It doesn't mean that we may not pick this up again and try to figure out a different way. But as others have said, we do need to work through this and we can't do it without community. And so far I would echo that whatever little things we have tried generally are rejected. So I'm putting over to you when there's another opportunity to think through what are the pluses and what change are we willing to take a risk on in order to facilitate change? Because continuing as we are, I'm not really sure there's any reason to expect a different outcome. There was a question asked about the tax base. Probably many people in the room know that at our next council meeting, council is going to tackle permissive tax exemption with an intention of removing them. So if there aren't permissive tax exemptions, then anyone running a business, a building, will be paying taxes. So that will be that will be a subject on the next council meeting. There was comments made on the loss of a hotel. I recognize that as serious. This community has somewhere around 440 hotel rooms, are mostly full. Losing some has an impact. At the same time, the owner of the property has a right to make a change in their life. As any of you do that own buildings, if you choose that you want to make a change and offer a building up, you have the right to do that. And I might not like that, but there we go. Whether or not it's rezoned, that's on us. But there was a decision by the property owner to make a change. She and the shareholders in that business have every right to do that. But I certainly do recognize the risk of a loss of hotel rooms. I guess that also creates an opportunity. Our rooms, we do have a pretty high occupancy rate, and there is an opportunity right now for hotel rooms. The one other thing that I want
wanted to comment on is that I think it's fine to be for or against something, but it's enough to be for or against it based on what is true. So there is a lot of speculation on who brought the project, on who's trying to ram something through, on what the ulterior motives might be. And I would suggest that's harmful. The fact is, this council and previous councils have been working hard to find a way through the homelessness and the shortage of housing more than this term. So while it might be a surprise to some that BC Housing might have answered the call with what they thought they could provide right now, it is not true to think that someone is trying to cram something through. So it's okay to not like it, but I would urge you not to dislike it because of things that aren't true. The BC government isn't ramming it through. BC Housing isn't ramming it through. They made an offer to purchase a building that could be converted to housing if, in fact, we are willing to go that way. That's how the process works. And I'm not sure that we want people afraid to try something. So I think I would urge people to make sure that your opposition or your support is just based in truth. I think there is a lot of concern. It's obvious that people are either afraid, angry, worried about what we see for crime in the community. I absolutely understand that, but I do think some of that is being conflated with what housing might provide. If we don't have stabilizing housing, I'm not sure how we would expect people to behave better. It might not work for everyone, it will work for some. I think what I see is the general lack of trust in us, in the other levels of government, might be damaging. So we sit here every couple of weeks in a public meeting. Some people come, many don't. A whole lot of it's not that interesting. But we sit here at a public meeting with public agendas twice a month. So we're not really operating in a vacuum. There are some items that are held in camera, as Councillor Ray mentioned. Most things that we do are in public, right here in these chambers. So one other thing, I guess, before I make my final comments, is that as part of the work that council has done, this council and the previous council has been to invite community members, community groups to help solve this issue. We've held roundtables in this room. There hasn't been an outcome. It doesn't mean there won't be the next time, but we've sat at this table with service providers, with agencies, and asked for that kind of support, that help. Then now what? That hasn't resulted in anything. Maybe it will next time, but just so folks realize, and others have said it, it hasn't been that this is the only idea. There has been a great deal of effort made to figure out how do we deal with the issue that we see across the road, the concerns that people have in terms of broader community safety, and this housing issue that's critical. So as I kind of try to wrap up here, I think, again, I can count. So I think I see where this is going. But one of the things that's clear to me in the comments I've heard in the last couple of weeks and tonight is that there's a lot of upset about what is current. So tomorrow it will be current as well. The things that you're upset with, the things that you see, the level of crime, we can do our part at this table, but a lot of that does belong with other entities. And it does require community support to make a change, and it's not inexpensive. I also just wanted to make note that while on balance, the people who have been here tonight, at least those who have spoken in opposition, I've had calls in favor. And I think one of the things we ought to be careful about is that we don't create an environment where people with a different opinion are afraid to speak. And I think that's part of what's happened as well. So this situation has arisen over years. I was at meetings in my first term, and that's going back a few years, where people were concerned about people in Wolf Square, where people were wanting people locked up, taken away, taken out of town. So it's not new. At that time, council was trying to do something like just a gazebo over there. Some people might remember that. So we will regroup when this is done. BC Housing will be informed of the decision after the vote. And then what was true in town today will be true in town tomorrow. So I invite you to think about that. And then what, as a community, do we want to do? Because it's clear there's a lot of dissatisfaction with what's current. The other piece is I will thank you for making your voices heard. Democracy is not pretty. Citizenship is important. And so you have participated in that, and for that I'm grateful. I will ask, though, that when you're out and you hear ideas that maybe are a bit difficult, that you, as other counselors have said, keep your mind open. We need to find a way through this, because obviously we're not there yet. And I did actually make some effort, I don't think it matters at this point, to speak to other communities to find out what the hotel, you know, in towns where I knew the people who lived there, to phone around and say, so you've had a hotel converted to housing, how did it go? Generally, the answer was, that part's okay. What's not okay is some of the things we're talking about today. So it doesn't solve all issues, but it did provide stable housing for people in other communities. Whether it's bomb-proof, probably not, but it's not also just a bomb. So sometimes we do have to take that chance to see what can we do better in order to provide perhaps a better opportunity for our community. And I'll hold it there. So council, I think next, unless there's something you absolutely have to say, if we could get a motion on it. Bylaw number 1958. I am going to move that bylaw 1958 be read.
No, just in case it wasn't clear, we always do this. I'll be voting against.
I'll be voting against. Thanks. And just for the gallery, we have a pattern amongst ourselves of giving notice of when we're not going to support a motion. So I'm going to call the vote. All in favor? Opposed? The motion is defeated with Councillor Ray, Councillor Griffin, by Councillor Elliott, and Councillor Leonard opposed. We're going to move, so not almost passed.
For those in the gallery who may just be meeting, now that that has been defeated, I just want to say I believe your worship that my report may be up next.
We have one more bylaw.
Okay. Well, I'll just encourage people to stick around for those individuals who talk about all the things that they're really passionate about, that they want to see resolved within our community. I really appreciate you staying so that you could hear my report. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Patterson, I'm going to stick with bylaws. So bylaw number 1959, I will move third. Councillor Raven seconds. Okay. And I won't make people go through it if your plan is to vote the same way you did the last time. I'm going to call the vote. All in favor? Any opposed? The vote is defeated, or the motion is defeated, with Councillor Ray, Councillor Elliott, and Councillor Leonard.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.